A shavua v'Hashem shall be between the two people. Eina zaza ha'inish mibein shneim le'olam. It says over here, in other words, the Chazal explained, im ha'mashbia mashbia l'sheker. If there is a situation where an oath must be taken, if the person swears falsely, soif lotzei salav, then the end will be that he will suffer the consequences. If he swears falsely, then he's going to be punished, obviously, for swearing falsely. And let me just get this out of the way. Now this mashbia means the one who demands a shavua. There are situations when a person can say to somebody else, I demand of you, you make a claim against, okay, I don't know the details. There are different situations, but let's say a person comes to court and he makes a claim. And he has some legitimacy to his claim. And this is there are different sugyos and shas that discuss all the details and halacha, how it works. But a person can demand from his fellow man that his fellow man swear. Sometimes the person that is, and what happens in many of these situations, the person doesn't want to swear, even though if he would swear, it would be a truthful shavua. It's a frightening thing to make a shavua, even if you say the truth. It's not a simple matter to take Hashem's name, to swear by Hashem's name, to hold in your hands a Sefer Torah. Many times people would better pay money, even a very, very significant amount of money, than swear that they do not owe this money. And that's it's a very sad thing. You're an innocent man, and you're able to prove your innocence by taking an oath, but the fear, the pachad of making even a shvuas emes is too much for most Yirei Shamayim. They're not willing to do it. They would rather just pay the money. Now, what about the person who is demanding from him, his other person, to make the shvua? So sometimes it's shaloi kedin. He knows that his intended victim is a Yirei Shamayim. And he knows that if he'll demand that he swear, he's not going to want to swear. He'll just pay the money. So he takes advantage of this situation by demanding that he swear. Or sometimes it can be, I think that the case I'm going to tell you now is, I think the case that we're discussing here is where he knows that his fellow man is going to swear falsely. He knows that. He doesn't. So he says to him, you owe me money, and I know you're not going to pay me, but you know what? I want you to swear. And he knows good and well that the person is going to swear falsely. This individual is also guilty. He is causing someone to swear falsely. That's what it means, hamashpia. Im hamashpia mashpia l'shek. If the one that's mashpia,
you can bring a case like this. If Reuven chayav l'Shimon $100,
yeah,
and Shimon knows that, so he said, no, ata chayav li $200. So he looks like moded mikra chayav shmua, and he says the truth. So hamashpia ze she omer kiflaim, which is the lie.
Right. You're causing him to swear falsely.
For nothing.
But here it's even not for nothing. It's la sheker. Here it says even more powerful words.
It is la sheker because it was a lie. And he knew that it's a lie. Hamashbia knew that it is a lie.
Okay, so many different situations.
He owes him only 100. Hamashbia as ugorem lo lishava.
Okay,
the Gemara discusses that in Shnayim Oaths and Betalos. It's a big issue over there because he wants to create a Shavuos Hesus. He knows he doesn't owe him this money, but he wants them. Once you make a person swear, he could swear on an old loan that he got away with, and he wants him to swear you know, once we are on the witness stand, they could ask you something that
other things
previously make you swear on that, and that would be the reason to make him swear this one, even though he wouldn't want to. That's in the Gemara.
Yeah, okay. But
Rabbi Levine, you said that you know the other person is going to swear falsely, right?
Correct.
But how do you know that? I mean,
you from your experience. We all know that. You have experience.
If he is a known liar, then he doesn't even qualify for Eidus.
Yeah, he's a known liar to you, not to the Beis Din. You know your characters, but the Beis Din in this society, this happens ma'asim b'chol yom. You deal with people your whole life. You really know what they're all about. But when it comes to something a public event, a situation, people don't know him. You know him. They don't know him. And you know that if this guy is going to get involved, he's going to get involved in something. He's going to be a ganaf. He's going to make a churban out of something. And you can scream all you want. Everyone will just silence you. They'll say, listen, you have no proof. Where's the evidence? It's like what goes on today. That goes on today in the secular world. There are certain things which are known truths. But unless you can prove it, you know, it's a free country. You can do whatever you want. You have to be able to prove. You know, today it's so frightening because even if you can prove it, there's no justice. No one even wants to listen. No one even wants to accept. Yeah, it's amazing. In America, they have evidence. There is something to. I told you they have something to look at. No, the FBI and Justice Department, they do not even want to. There's no court that has yet. They don't want to even accept. As Trump said, they don't even want to accept the evidence. They don't even let it get to that point. It's incredible. It's an incredible thing. You're not dealing over here with, okay, you don't like the evidence. You want to dismiss it. All right. Maybe you'll have a fair defense, but at least, like they say, there are people that are sitting in hundreds of thousands of people in this country that are sitting in prison for a lot less than this, a lot less evidence than this. So you want to dismiss it? Because when they hate, dismiss it, but at least allow it to be presented. Here, we have such a situation, ha-mashpia l'sheker, you're dealing with the person over here, you're the mashpia. The mashpia means the person that is the cause. You are making a claim, and you know good and well, the Gemara discussed such a case, I don't know the details, but the Gemara makes such a case where you know good and well the person that you're going to make swear will swear falsely. You know that, because you know the person. Beis Din doesn't know that. Beis Din now administers a shvua, and the person now is sworn falsely. Along comes this Maamar Chazal and tells us something very, very frightening. Do you know who's going to suffer the curse of this shvua sheker? You! The person that was mashpia. The person that demanded that this fellow man swear. Because since you, in your heart, know that he will utter a shvua sheker, you are the cause of a shvua sheker, and you also bear responsibility in this terrible avera. Im ha-mashbia, mashbia l'sheker. The one that is mashbia, he's mashbia. Now, okay, the word l'sheker, because sheker can mean in different ways. Either you know he's going to lie, or let's say you have no grounds to even demand a shvua be made. You know, but you abuse the system. You know what the end's going to be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he, the end, Soif Lot, Seis Salav, the curse will come upon the Mashpia, not the one that actually uttered the oath, the one that administered, the one that is the cause of the oath being made. Im HaNishba LaShaker, Nishba LaShaker, the person, the one who makes the Shvu, he makes the Shaker, he'll be the one, if the person who administers the oath is the cause, is sincere, but the one who actually makes the oath is a shakran, so he will suffer the punishment. My timer, here is the makar. Hoy tse siha, noam Hashem tzivokois, uva'o el beis haganav. So what does the mean here in the brackets he explains? Mi shiroi tse lignoiv das chaveroi. A person wants to deceive. V'lit boya mamoinoi chinam. And you want to make a claim against him, chinam, a lie. And so the beginning of the pasuk is mashbia. You go to court and you make an outrageous claim. Reuven, this guy, he owes me $1,000. Reuven says, what? I don't even know who you are. I never saw him before. What are you talking about? I don't owe you a penny. Where's the proof? I owe you $1,000? Out of your mind? And whatever the situation is, Reuven is able to manipulate, this fellow who we're not giving a name to is able to manipulate that Reuven will make a shavua. He will make a shavua that I do not owe you one penny. Even though the shavua is MS, the oath is MS, the cause that the shavua was made to begin with was based on sheker. So one can argue, no milk, nothing wrong, nothing to cry about. Nothing to cry about in this case. Because the shavua was a shavua's MS, and the end of the day, the fellow did not have to pay any money because he made the shavua. No, we're making a drasha that the person that demanded a shavua be made, that money is not owed, he knew that his claim was a lie. He knew that the only way this fellow would be able to avoid payment was by making a shavua's MS. He was gambling on the possibility that the victim would be so frightened to make a shavua that he would stand down and just pay the $1,000. It turned out that his intended victim was not such a coward. He did make a shvuas emes, that he does not owe one penny, but the perpetrator, this criminal who attempted to take advantage and to test him by demanding a shvua be made, he is called mashpia lasheker, and he will suffer the curse. And that's how this Chazal understands the beginning of the pasuk. Kot say siha, num Hashem uvo'o, it will come el beis haganov. This Kot say siha goes back on the previous pasuk, which discusses the Allah of the shvua sheker, the Allah of the curse. It will come upon the beis haganov, means the person who tried to steal. Doesn't mean that he actually succeeded. He tried to steal by making a claim, you owe me money. And the defendant was able to spare himself by swearing, I don't owe you one penny. And he saved himself with the shvuas emes. But the mashbia, he knew that it was all a lie. He's the cause of a shvua being made over sheker. And he will now suffer the curse. This is a very, very big chiddush. This interpretation is said that when a shvua is made, he suffers a curse. When a shvua's MS is made because it's based on false pretenses and false accusations, he suffers the same curse. Mi shereitz alignav das chaveroi. You want to steal from someone. You want to be going there for your das by v'litboya. How do you steal his das? By making a claim, mamoinoi, chinam. It's a lie. You owe me $1,000, and you know good and well you don't owe me nothing. And the only way the victim is going to be able to save himself is by swearing, I don't owe this first person one penny. Ule hashpioi al hasheker, on the lie that is being claimed. Such a person will suffer the curse of an shvua sheker. They'll base, it says here in the pasuk, that's what it means, that's the first part of the pasuk. And the second part of the pasuk, they'll base hanishba b'shmil hasheker, that refers to an ordinary sheker. A person actually makes a true claim, you owe me money, and it's true, and the fellow avoids paying the money by swearing falsely. That is the second half of this pasuk. It is an incredible idea to learn pshat in the pasuk like this. Next, Amar Rabbi Shlomo Nachman, Malachi HaChabola Ein Lechem Kefitzin, they do not have knees. We discussed this idea many times. They do not have joints. Eilem kifitzin, chulyos v'ragleim u'memela einam yochem l'shaves. They cannot sit down. My time. How do you know that? It says mishut ba'aretz u'misalech ba. It says in Eiv concerning the malachim that the satan went out to fly upon the earth u'misalech ba. Shlohayol l'satan makom l'shaves v'lenuach. It says with mishut. The word mishut means it only flies. The word mishut has a connotation that it does not have the ability to bend its knees. Bram hacha, here it says, vilonei b'sech beisoi. Here it says that the malach chavala, they're going to come to your home and lie down. They're going to bend there and they're going to sit down on the dining room table. They're going to sit down on the bed. V'chilatu, and they'll destroy him. V'yes eitzav v'avanav. So what is over here? What is it coming to you? So here, so he's saying over here, I believe what he's trying to say over here is that when a person swears falsely and commits a horrible crime, then Hashem gives the Malachi Chavala knees. Just like the Pasuk says that Hashem will allow fire to burn stone, which ordinarily is impossible because of the sin of Ashua Sheker is so severe. Likewise, Hashem will give Malachim tools and unique characteristics that are ordinarily impossible, so that a person who is guilty of such a terrible avera of Shua Sheker should be able to be punished. Okay, that's what it seems over here to say. It says, Mishut ba'aretz u'mishalich ba'. Shut means to fly, which means he can't actually, there's no lina. And here it says, V'lana. And then he gives another example of it, says they'll burn the stones. Dvarim she'enu eish sharfan v'shua sheker v'chalasan. And then we have Rabbi Yoyin Omar al Sheker, Rabbi Yoyin Omar af al Ho'emes. Okay, this parallels what we said before, is that the punishment here is going to come of a Shavua, comes for Sheker, even for a Shavuas Emes. Now, what does it mean, a Shavuas Emes? So it means one of two things. Either, like we said until now, it means the Mashbia is Sheker. Like we said before, a person is a liar, he's a phony, and he comes to court and he says, you owe me $1,000. And he knows without a doubt in his mind that it's a total lie. He's gambling, because he knows that if a person wants to be a koifer hakoil, you still have to make a shavua. If his intended victim will make the shavua, it will be a shavuas emes. And he does. He makes a shavuas emes, and I don't owe you one penny. The perpetrator was hoping that he would be so scared to make a shavua, he would pay him the $1,000. It turns out he's not a coward. He makes the shavua. I owe you nothing. It's a shavuas emes. But it was brought upon a person through sheker. So that's what it means here. Rabbi Yosi Omer af alo emes, coming to explain what we learned before. Or what you can say, another interpretation, It means even without someone, even if a person, if it's not necessary to make a shavua, don't make a shavua. It's a very delicate thing to take Hashem's name and make an oath, even when it's necessary. There's always a mashahu. Even though when a person makes a shuas emes, it can very well be that there might be a teeny, teeny mashahu of sheker in the oath. Let's say you make a clear prayer, you owe me $1,000. And you swear, I don't owe you $1,000. But you know, maybe 10 years ago, you borrowed from him a quarter to put in the parking meter. In the olden days, when they still had quarters in the parking meters, so 30 years ago, you met him once and you were outside of the bakery, and you asked him, can you give me a quarter for the parking meter? And he gave you a quarter, and now 30 years pass, and you never paid him back. And now something happened in business where this fellow goes and he says, you owe me $1,000. And you go to Beis Din, and you take a shvua. I shvua, I don't owe you one penny. So it's taka true. You don't owe him the $1,000. But you do owe a quarter from 30 years ago, and you forgot all about that. So here, the shavua that you took Hashem's name, and you held on to a Sefer Torah, and you make a shavua, I don't owe you one penny, you forgot 30 years ago, you owe him a quarter. So even though you can argue, big deal, come on, you can't, nidna Torah la malachi hashares, come on, that's not what you meant. When you took the shavua, you're referring to the $1,000, Mistaver, the guy, he was moichel you the quarter 30 years ago. He forgot about it. You forgot about it. You know, that's the way you live. You lend him a quarter today. I'll buy you to next day. I'll be the other way around. You can argue the whole day that quarter from 30 years ago, it's devarim betelim umavutalim. However, when you're dealing with Hashem, with a shavua, there are much, much higher standards. And you never know a teeny mashahu who can be an ikuf. And that's exactly what it says over here, about the Shvuas, even a Shvuas Emes. So we have two interpretations as to what it means Shvuas Emes. Either the Mashpia is a Shakron, which results in a Shvuas Emes. So the Mashpia will suffer the curse, or it means even if the Mashpia is sincere. And the one that swears that, is sincere.
That's the way the Torah says, once it says La Shekhter and one it says La Shav. It's in vain, even if it's true, but you don't say today is, now it's morning, and I swear on it, the B'Shem Hashem. This is La Shav. And he causes him La Shav. Even if it's a Shekhter or not Shekhter, but it's in vain. Because
but that's shav. But that's a different sugya. No, so that's a different sugya. Chazal.
You use Shem Hashem.
That sugya of lashav is a different sugya. There, in the Morta of lashav, it talks about that where a person swears on a piece of wood that it is a piece of wood, right? This over here is there is a doubt. There is an unknown. There is an unknown. So then you can't say it's shav. The question, it's MS. The question is the circumstances is why the claim was made that Shaker. No, I think the Shvua Shav is an entirely different sugya. This is a piece of wood and you swear it's a piece of wood. Here we're discussing when there is an unknown. We really don't know. To the Bezdin, by Shvua Shav, Bezdin, every single person in the room knows that this is a piece of wood. So why are you making a shvua? It's obvious. A shvua's MS in this case is Bezdin does not know if Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. But Shimon, he knows that it's Sheker. He knows that Reuven does not.
So, it becomes nothing.
So why then are you demanding that Reuven swear?
He doesn't have to swear. If Reuven says to Shimon,
Kofra
call. Hayavli $100, and he doesn't,
no.
So who knows? He must be out for nothing.
No, but there's a midrabanan. You have to be a kolif rakol midrabanan has to swear midrabanan. Midaraisa, you only have to swear by. You only have to swear midaraisa. Moed b'miksas. Moed b'miksas. I know it's outrageous, right? It sounds outrageous. A guy can just walk into court and say you owe me $1,000. It's I don't know. So it has to obviously be. Obviously, when you have such a principle called Koifer HaKol has to make a Shur Midrabanan, there has to be at least some evidence. There has to be something. It's not, if there are two witnesses, then you don't swear. You pay. There's nothing to talk about. If two witnesses walk into court and say, you owe Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, case closed. Reuven pays $1,000 whether he likes it or not. If Reuven walks into court and just says, this guy on the street, oh, he owes me $1,000. You go fly a kite. Get lost. Come on. Come on. Obviously, it means Reuven walks into court and he has something. There is something legitimate that allows him. And what that is up to the determination of the Bezdin.
What the Gemara postulates is that people saw, the witnesses saw only that a loan took place. They don't know how much.
Oh, so the loan did take, okay, very good. That's the case. A loan definitely says, yeah, took place. The question was, did he pay it back? Did he pay it back? So,
well, they don't even know how much. Know that there was a transaction took place.
Okay, so whatever the details are, it's complicated. There are different situations that probably ends up being a machlokes rishayin and machrayin, all the details, the parameters of all the cases. But it has to be that there is evidence, there's raglayim ledavar, there is a legitimate claim. But the claim does not reach the level of testimony. It does not lead to the level where it is absolutely certain that Reuven owes Shimon money. Reuven makes a claim. There is substance to that claim. According to the Torah, Minat Torah, Reuven is entitled to say, I don't owe you one penny. We believe him. Being that Shimon's claim does not reach the threshold of absoluteness, Min haTorah, Reuven can say lahadam lo hayu dvarim me'olam, or I paid you back the full debt, and we accept his word. However, the Rabbanon stepped in and they said, being that there is substance to the claim of Shimon, we're only going to let Reuven escape, go out scot-free if he swears. Now, when Reuven will swear, it will be a Shvuas Emes. So what's the problem? The problem is Shimon, who's making this claim, he knows the truth. He knows that Reuven does not owe him money. And the only reason why he's making the claim is because he's playing around with Reuven's Yirah Shamayim, hoping he'll be afraid to swear, and he will pay the money. But Reuven does not fall into that trap. Reuven swears. So a Shavuas Emes was made. But it was made because of a Shakran. Shimon was the Shakran. Shimon will now suffer the curse, ki'ilu, a Shavuas Sheker was made. That is an incredible chiddush. An incredible chiddush. You know, you would say, okay, so Shimon is a ganav. Shimon's a bad guy. And Hashem will certainly punish him for what he has done. But ad kidei kach, to go so far to say that Shimon will suffer a punishment equivalent to a person taking in his hand the Sefer Torah and swearing by Hashem's name, something that's completely false? I understand. L'sisa shem Hashem elokecha lashav. I understand the curse of making a shvua sheker is off the charts. But here a shvua sheker was not made. A shvua's emes was made. The only problem was, the only reason why a shvua had to be made to begin with was because we're dealing with a crazy person by the name of Shimon who is trying to manipulate and take advantage. So he did a terrible avera. But to suggest that his avera reaches the level of making a shvua sheker, do you really go so far? Yes, you go so far. That's what it says in this pasuk, Hotzei Siho. That's how the Gemara darshins the repetition. The repetition in this pasuk of two different types of oaths. We're dealing here with geneva, and we're dealing with a shavua. Okay, this comes back to the original question. This goes back to what we started with. What's going on over here? Why are these two different punishments so severe? Geneva. You know, geneva, ma'isim b'chol yoyim geneva. Geneva is geneva. Okay, roiv ganve Yisrael. Okay? Everyone is nichshol rachman l'tzlan. We don't hear that geneva is from the gimel chamuros. I mean, obviously the mabul came about. The mabul, the world was destroyed because of chomos. But chomos means where geneva reached a level of society was thoroughly corrupt. A person commits a crime. He stole money. He's a rasha. He did a terrible avera. But you know there are tayag mitzvos. There are many averos. To put this person on a pedestal, that he's the worst of the worst, and the Megillah office floating out of the Kodesh HaKodashim, I'm going to wipe him out. All right, you want to say that Geneva rates at the very, very top. All right, you know, I'll accept it. But it's still a little bit unsettling. Something's missing. Because when you want to talk about Geneva, we all know there are many different varieties of geneva. There's a person, you know, let me ask you a question. You go park your car, and as you're about to put in the quarters or the credit card into that device, a guy comes, here, take my receipt. It has another 20 minutes on it. And you take that piece, little tzettel, and you put it in your windshield. Are you a ganef? Are you a ganef? Have you cheated the government? What are the laws? This fellow, he paid his 25 cents to get the tzettel to put in his windshield. And now he comes out of the store. He had kefitza sadech. Okay? He was out of the store in 5 minutes, and he gives you the slip. Here, put the thing in your windshield. Are you allowed to do that according to Din de Malchus Adina? I have no idea. I have no idea what the laws are. I have no idea. But I have a feeling, I have a very strong feeling that even if it's 100% illegal, many people do it and they couldn't care less. Now, are you going to tell me that these people who are ganovim, they stole 25 cents from the city, it's terrible. I mean, kimala haaretz chamas libneihem. Are you going to tell me they're on the same level, that guy who went and took the tzedek from someone else, and he made these cheshbonos, you know, the government, whatever it is. Are you going to, he's on the same level as a fellow who walks into Beis Din, takes out a Sefer Torah, wraps himself up in a talis, and he swears falsely in Hashem's name something outrageous? I don't know. I have a hard time accepting that. Maybe it's true. I understand that if society has sunk to such a level that every single thing is corrupt, yeah, I get it. I get it. I really, really get it. There are many, many madregot of Gezel. Gezel is not one size fits all. There are many levels of Gezel. Some people, Rachmana Litzlan, they have 12 children and they don't have bread. They don't have what to eat. So they steal. Rachmana Litzlan. They were over in Isuri Deraisa. And you're going to tell me they're on the same level as people who are walking voluntarily and make a shvua shah b'shem Hashem? There are many madregot. It's the worst of the worst. So what's going on here in this psukim? Along comes this chazal and tells us that we're not discussing Geneva. That's right. That's right. We're not discussing Geneva. Geneva is dvorim chamurim admaot. But that's not what we're discussing here. We are discussing one case only, Shavuas Sheker. And the ganav that we are mentioning in this pasuk is a person who wants to steal by making a claim which he would win in court, because the only way a fellow would be able to escape is by making a Shavuas Emes. And the criminal is gambling that his victim will be a little confused and be frightened with the prospect of making a shvuah, so he will not make the shvuah and will be able to steal all of this money. But his intended victim stands up and makes a shvuas emes, full emes. That is the case of this pasuk. It will come forth from the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Megillas Offa, a Shavua Sheker was made. What do you mean? It was Emes. No. The Mashpia is a Shaklin. He knew that it was a lie. And that is equivalent to making a Shavua Sheker. That's an incredible thing. Now, Derech Agav, it says over here an incredible thing which is very relevant to this week's parasha. Extremely relevant. This week's parasha, what happens? Vayovek ish imoy ad alois hashochar. Vayar ki lo yocholo. Well, what does the malach the sarash leitzav do? Vayiga bekaf hayorech. He injures. He bekaf yorechai. He injures. I think bekaf hayorech. No, bekaf hayorech.
No,
al kain
yochlu
bnei
Israel.
Skir hanoshe.
But that's a different
post. Okay, fine. So he injures the kaf yorechai of Yaakov Avinu. Why did the Malach injure Yaakov precisely in this location? There are a lot of limbs. There are Ramach Evorim, 248 limbs. Shesagidin, 365 sinews. Why this? Why the Kaf Yirechoy? Pasuk goes on to say, what was the result of this injury? The Hu Tzoleya Al Yirecha. He was limping. He had a difficult time walking. When he walked, it looked funny. He had a difficult time. He had a difficult time walking. Yaakov Avinu. Why? What's going on here? And the answer is this Maimer Chazal that we just read right now. That's the answer to explain. If you don't know this Chazal, then there's no way to understand this week's parasha. The Chazal say here, we just read the words. It says, Malachi Chabola Omar Mamash Hashkocha Protis, that we were zeichet to read this Chazal against the backdrop of Parashas VaYishlach, where it says Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Malachi Chabola, the Sar Shel Esav, is the chief. Okay, he is number one. He is the first officer who sits first office of the Malachi Chabola. Ein lohem kifitzin. They don't have knees. They can't walk. They float. Loshut. They float in the sky. They have wings. They float. They move. They don't have knees. They can't walk. Why can't they walk? What does it say in Sefer Chagai? We learned that long ago. V'nosati l'cho mehalechim. Remember that pasuk? It was Chagai for it. V'nosati l'cho mehalechim bein ho'oimedim. Mahalechim. Mahalechim.
No, it's mach lechem. It's hard to say, but that's the word.
Mach ches, a mach.
There's no second patach.
You don't put out pronounce the hey.
It's a chat of patach.
Mach lechem.
It's a chat of patach. Or it's a shva. What's a shva?
The hey is not there.
The hey is not there. Fine. Malichin, malichin, malichin. Bein ha'oymedim ha'ele. I will give you the mobility, Hashem says to the Navi, amongst these pillars. Who are the pillars? The Malachim. A Malach that's a Sorof never becomes from the Chayos HaKodesh. A Malach who is from the Oifanim, even though he has good wheels, he ain't going nowhere. He does not become a different level. There are many different types of angels. Each one has a mission. There is no career mobility. There is no ability to move up. Wherever you are, that's what a malach remains for the remainder of its existence. There is no opportunity for a malach to grow, to steig. Only a human being has the ability to yelchu mechayil el choyil, to go from one level to the next. The Navi is given a malachin bein ha'oymedim ha'ele. Malachim do not have kifitzin. They do not have knees. They can't walk. It is symbolic. It is symbolic of their matzav, of being an oymed. We are created for a purpose. We don't change. We don't get promotions. We don't get a raise. We don't get a bonus. This is the way it is. What was the Malach jealous of? What when the Malach looked at Yaakov Avinu? When a Malach looks at any human being, what are they jealous of? The Malachim are bitterly jealous of us. A jealousy that knows no bounds, no limits. Because they look at a human being and they see he has knees. They see that a human being has the ability to go yelchu mechayil el choyil, to grow, to steig, to rise up, to go to a new level, and they cannot do that. And when the Sar Shel Esav departed from Yaakov, he hit him where it hurts. He basically, the frustration, the jealousy, you have knees, you have the ability to walk, to bend your knee, to be a mahalech, which captures the ability, malachim, to move, mobility, and I can't do this. I'm jealous. I want to take away from you what you have and I don't have, right? A child, when they fight, they try to take away. You have I want that toy. You have that toy. I don't. I want that toy. I want the knees. I want to be able to be a mahalich. That's why the Sar Shel Chabola hit Yaakov on the Yorech, the Kaf Yerechoi. So the result was, Vehut Soleya al Yerechoi. He wasn't able to move. His mobility was limited. Just like the Malach is an Oymed. That's why he hit him in that area. And that's exactly what it says over here. Ein lohem kifitzin, they don't have joints. Over here in the brackets, it writes over here, the chulios biraglehem, on their legs. But I told you the mekubalim tell us they don't have elbows either, as if anyone ever saw a malach, don't have elbows. I always like to repeat to you 100 times what it says in Avshalom Kamenetsky's teachings, that in the Olam HaEmes, a neshama, although a neshama can go yelchu mechayel l'choyel, but the neshamas don't have elbows. A neshama in the Olam HaElyon has knees, because we know it says in the pasuk yelchu mechayel l'choyel. But he writes, I don't know where he gets this from, they don't have elbows. So what's the problem? So you don't have an elbow, big deal. Next time you sit down to eat lunch, try to put the food in your mouth without bending your elbows. Try that. Try to get, so you'll tell me, I know, I'll bend down, I'll just, like a dog, right? You bend down, a dog bends its face into the bowl. No, in Olam HaEmes, they don't let you do that. You have to eat with derech eretz. You can't go bend your head into the bowl. So how are you going to eat? How are you going to nourish yourself in Olam HaElyon? In the upper world, so if you can't bend your elbows, what are you going to do? You know what the answer is? Somebody has to feed you. If you can't bend your elbows, I can't feed myself, but I can pick up some food and I can put it into someone else's mouth. Someone's going to have to. Who's going to feed you? You know who's going to feed you? The people who you fed in this world. The people who you feed in this world, neither connected, neither, they'll be there to feed you. But if Rachmana Litzlan, a person, does not feed anyone in this world, you don't give to anyone in this world, there'll be no one to feed you in the next world. That's what he says. Scary. This idea of the kefitzin. All right, now this concludes.
So how do you translate tachas oetz vayochelu?
We asked that question. Tachas oetz, how do they eat all together? How do they malachim eat? I don't know the answer. I don't know.
I'm saying so. It must be that they had the power to bend their elbows, so to speak. They look like
I don't know.
The lowest level of malach. Yeah.
Linu for halaylo.
They have the ability to bend their legs and things like that, because otherwise you would know they're malachim right away.
Here it says malachi chavolo. Malachi chavo. I don't know.
Right.
They were in disguise.
Ishim, that's why Ishim, the ones who come down to earth, are called Ishim.
Right. Is the lowest level of malach.
To the people
giving the same yes, right.
Yes.
There must have been problems like this.
There certainly are. Of course. He's asking Rav Mordechai Bins like this. And this Nevuah we mentioned has been given to the people living in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. And obviously the focus here is Shavuah, an oath. This was a very big issue, to take an oath, to take a Shavuah Semes. It's a very big issue. This is a halachic issue. Anyone who works, a public servant. Every public servant, not everybody, most public servants have to take an oath when they are inaugurated, when they are entered, like the President of the United States. So the President of the United States, everyone, the Supreme Court Justice, probably every doctor. A doctor also, right? A doctor takes an oath. Does a doctor?
It's a Hippocratic oath.
So they take an oath. So how are you allowed to make a shavua? How is a person allowed to make a shavua? It's very frightening. Even though you are sincere that you will do everything in your power. Human beings are very complicated. There's always some little deviousness buried deep down inside a person's subconscious. So how could you make a shvu? It's not at all so simple. So some of the very religious person goes to court. You call to court to testify. So there is such a thing that they allow freedom of religion. They do allow to affirm, right? That's a new thing to I hereby affirm.
Yeah.
Well, what's the Hebrew word?
In the court, the jurors, they cast.
They ask them.
Yeah, it's actually a long time institution. You don't hear about it so much.
So this is something new? Is the original
concept? No, not at all.
It's something.
It's not new. I mean, it's funny. People don't know. I mean, when I was on grand jury duty, I saw, a few from witnesses, and they were confused. I had to. Help straighten them out on procedure.
Okay, so it is a halachic issue to swear, and they in Baruch Hashem in this country they let you get away with it. They let you affirm instead of actually swearing, and it's equivalent. It's accepted. I wonder what would be if there would be if Lieberman would have been the vice president. He ran together with, who did he run together with? I forgot already all my history. not Gore. So long ago. Gore? What
I
would
think it was Gore.
But
no,
he doesn't. Does the vice president?
I don't remember.
Wait, does the vice president? Does he doesn't take an oath. He doesn't take an oath. Doesn't make a difference. He doesn't take an oath. Vice president, right? No such thing. Does the vice president take an oath?
It was Gore.
Does the vice president take an oath when at the inauguration?
And so every legislator, every governor, even police officers, everybody takes an oath.
By the inauguration of the President of the United States, they do not. The vice president doesn't play any role
it's
whatsoever.
It's not as public. But it's to uphold the Constitution. Remember
Obama? He had to take it twice, and look what good that did for us. Remember that he took it twice. He took it the first time, and he made a mistake. He said it the wrong way. He said something. So just in case la halacha, it wasn't chal like a British columnist. So he did it again. He did it a second time. Remember that story?
So two false oaths there.
He took it. Ein ribui achar ribui elo lemait. All right. Let's now move ahead to the next. To the next section. Okay, this concludes the section. Now let's start Pasuk Zion. Just for a few, I'll put up the next page on the screen. Give me a moment to figure out how to do this here. Stop share. Let's take me one moment to bring it up. Page 758. Okay. Okay, up the next section. The next pasuk begins. V'hinei kikar oiferes niseis v'zois isha achas yosheves b'soich oefa. Now we have a new pasuk. We have over here, there was a kikar eferes nises. Now, what is this? Kikar is a weight. Eferes kikar means a certain size. We'll see in a few moments, a certain size of a measurement that was being carried up into, it's like flying in Shemayim. Vizois isha achas. This is very bizarre.
Doesn't eferes mean lead? So a little cup of eferes?
Eferes. Yeah, okay. A kikar, okay, we'll see one moment. We'll look at it more precisely in one moment. A kikar is a weight. A ferris is lead, okay? It's a kikar of lead, correct? Niseis, it was being carried. Zachariah now saw a new vision. He sees now, behold, a weight of lead, niseis, that's being lifted up in the sky. Vizois isha achas. And there is a woman, okay? There is a woman, which this woman represents Klal Yisrael. This pasuk is very similar to the kina that we recite on Tisha B'Av. Yirmiyah is walking outside Yerushalayim, and he comes across the image of a woman dressed in black. He looks at her, and he notices that she is a beautiful woman, but she is filthy dirty, and he is startled. He asks her, are you a demon or are you a human being? And she says, none of the above. I'm not a demon. I am not a human being. I am Klal Yisrael. I represent, I am a, I don't know what that means, whatever it means. It was like a vision. I am Klal Yisrael. I am truly beautiful, but currently, I am filthy, representing the current state of chait of Klal Yisrael. I'm dressed in black because a churban is imminent, and you better do something, because if you don't, it's all over. Yirmiyah asks her, what should I do? So she says, pray, daven, go to the Kivrei Avos, go to Avraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, to Moshe, to the Imohis. She doesn't list this, doesn't Aaron, Moshe, the Aaron and the Imohis. She doesn't go to the Yeshivis, and she doesn't mention Yosef and David. we mentioned that Kina Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, then Moshe, then Aaron, and then she goes to all of the Noshim Tzidkonios, and they are Mespalo. And the Noshim Tzidkonios, they save the day. Here we have something very, very similar. We have over here the image of an Isha, Achas, Yosheves, she is sitting Mesoch HaEifa, she's sitting in the Eifa. Now notice here we have words are being thrown around right and left. A Kikar, a Feres, and an Eifa. Each one of these words on its own would refer to a weight, to a mishkal, to a some type of a measurement. And here they're being thrown around. We have to come back and look at the Mefarshim and see exactly what the deeper meaning is. Let's go further. Vayomer, the Malach says to Zechariah, Zois Harisha, this is the wicked one. Vayashlech Oisa, he throws her El Toicho Eifa into the measure. Vayashlech Es Evin Hoferes El Pia, and then the Malach throws the Evin Hoferes, the stone of lead, to her mouth. So we're calling here this Isha the Rishah, the wicked one, and we're mentioning over here a new word, the Evin Hoferes. The word Evin did not appear thus far, but we had here a Kikar of Hoferes. Suddenly, the word Kikar turned into the word Evin. And what's with the Pia, and what's with her? If she already has been cast away, she doesn't exist. Why is her Pia still present? Two psukim, let's look here at the Mitzvah stone on the bottom of the page. Kikar Oiferes Nises Mishkal, the weight of a Kikar Oiferes, the weight of a, one moment, let's move this to the side, the weight of a measure of lead, Nosso Es Atzma, lifted itself up, Minoritz. Vizois Isha Achas, return to Lamacho, Isha Achas Hazois, this woman, Shektina Es Ho'efa, which diminished the Eifa, which means that she falsified. The Eifa is supposed to be a certain weight, and this Eifa has been falsified by being less than its true weight in order to cheat the customer. Ha'isa Yosheva Es B'Soich Ho'efa, L'kabel Shom HaGmul, to receive punishment, B'mokoyim Horesha Shom HaMishpat. In other words, the chickens will come back to roost. You will suffer the consequences of your own deeds. This woman, sorry, what happened over here? Calendar came up. I have trouble with my computer. I'm sorry. My computer is misbehaving. Okay. Refers to Klal Yisrael. It is very common for the Devim to refer to the entire Klal Yisrael with a metaphor of a woman. This woman is the woman that is responsible for falsifying the measures. She was originally sitting. The judge that was enforcing the law, that is ruling, he threw her and beat her. Where el toich oifa the hishlich el pia, then he threw into her mouth as so even hoiferes the lead lechonko to choke her. Vehu hakikar hoiferes haniseis haniskeres, the even is now being the kikar is now being called the even haniskeres lamalu vol rames al mashachotu lahagdil shekel. Over here we're referring to the chait that is occurring in this time of false measures. V'yeh agmul mida b'mida b'davar shechotanu. The imki hoy oiferes, even though it was lead, Omar Evan hoiferes, kialpi roiv oisim a mishkol me Evan, they would make the mishkol, he's saying, what is going on? Is it stone or is it lead? So he's saying, ordinarily it's made from lead, but sometimes they would substitute lead for stone after they determined that the stone is exactly the weight of what the lead is supposed to represent. Okay, so the point of view, according to Mr. Stavrov over here, the metaphor we're describing over here in this passage, according to his understanding, is a new chait, the chait of false measures. We have over here a kikar. We have kikar is a weight, a ferris that is made from lead. Niseis, it's rising up. V'zoisu isha achas, there is a woman, Klal Yisrael, Yeshavas, they are sitting besoichoi in this image. Now the eifa is a generic term. The word eifa means a measure. You can use the word eifa for all different types of measurements, all different types of scales and instruments used to determine a size. This example here is just one example of the kikar hoiferes, is just one of the word. This is the catch-all phrase. So therefore, when we want to refer to the measure, we go back to eifa, which we mentioned in the previous pasuk, in the few books before. Vayoymer, Zachariah says, Zois harisha, this isha, klal yishol, she is the one who is guilty for falsifying this measure, and now she will suffer her punishment. Vayashlech ha'isa, the judge, threw her el toicho eifa. Okay, whatever this means, this is obviously something very, very mystical. Take a human being and to throw them within the measure. Vayashlech ha'isa even, and in addition to being thrown into the measure, the stone, the lead was thrown el pia to choke her. It doesn't really, the words, the mitzvah is just translating words, giving us a little bit of appreciation that the person is going to be punished by their own undoing. Person's sins will come back to haunt them. And we're giving that as a metaphor here, that the actual falsified stone is going to end up choking this woman who represents the people who are guilty for falsifying the measures. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, I have seen that in the vision that it is lifted from the earth, la'avir, mishkal, a weight, kikar, it's a measure, oiferes. The word kikar is a certain measurement, whatever it is. You know that Haman paid Achashverosh 10,000 kikre zov, 10,000 talents, talents of silver. A kikar is a measure, it's a certain measure of a weight of gold or silver, whatever it is. Haman paid Achashverosh 10,000 of these things called the kikar as payment to destroy the Jewish people. So here we have the word mishkal, the weight of kikar, oiferes, not of silver, not of gold, but of lead. I saw, what else did I see? V'zois ish achas v'sheves p'secho eifa, k'mo v'hine. He's telling us over here is that the word v'zois, in this context, should be substituted with the word v'hine. If the pasuk would have said, vihine, kikar oiferes nises. I have a vision. I see on the ground a measure of lead rising up into the sky, into the air, magically. If the pasuk would now say the word vihine, it would be much easier to read. Vihine, behold, isha achas yasheves, there is a woman that is sitting besoich within this measure. The pasuk would flow a little bit better, but it does not say the word vihine. Instead, it says the word v'zois. The Mitzvah Stavit did not give us any explanation why it said the word v'zois. Rashi acknowledges that we have a problem. We have a difficulty in reading translating the pasuk. And he says, you know what? Make believe it says the word v'hine. The word v'zois and the word v'hine at times can be substituted for one another. And that's an incredible important point, because now when you take that idea that the word v'zois and the word v'hine means really the same exact thing, go through the entire Torah, and every time it says the word zois, make believe it says the word hine, and you'll come away with a whole new appreciation of the older psukim. V'zois ha-Torah asher sam Moshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael pi Hashem v'yad Moshe. Right? What does it mean in our vocabulary? V'zois. You point, right? You take your pinky. By the way, do you point with your pinky? I daven Chaim Berlin, no one points. No one points. I'm spiraling the diamonds. Do people point? People don't point. Who says he's supposed to point? Not only do I point with my pinky. And it was once a fellow there that said to me, where in the world did you learn this from? Who taught you this? To point with your pinky. Who told you to point altogether? And if you're going to point, who told you to point with your pinky? I said, I have no idea. I have no idea why I do this. It must be that in first grade, that's what they taught us. And that's why I do it. I have no idea. And over the years, I did learn there are sources. I don't remember what they are, but there are definitely sources. But it's not all that common to actually by when they do Hagbah, to actually point at the Sefer Torah. It seems that the standard meaning is just to say the pasuk, the Zayis HaTorah. I don't know what you do. I don't know people of you. What do you do? What do you remember? Still, do you point? He's a Chaim. He doesn't point. Of Mordechai. Mordechai, do you point? Okay, what do people do? You when they do Hagba, do you point? You don't point. You don't raise your fingers? Yes. Mayevsky, what do you do? You point?
Yes.
With your finger? Which finger?
Yes.
Which finger?
No, I point with my pinky. That's
you see? You see? An East Sider.
My father didn't point, my Rebbe didn't point.
Okay, sir. Menachem Sperling doesn't point. And
because your mother told you it's not polite to point.
But Rabbi Mayevsky and I were East Siders. We come from the East Side, the Lower East Side, we pointed. That's how we would. They told me in MTJ. Okay, Rabbi Mayevsky also told me the same thing. He points.
Yeah, I
with your pinky. With your pinky. You know, right? That's what they taught us in MTJ. Okay? A lot of people today, you look in shul, they don't point. They don't point, and they don't even know about this. It's interesting because there are people. I've paid attention. I've seen quite a number of people who do point with their pinky, sub point with other fingers, whatever it is. All I'm trying to tell you over here is we have an incredible Rashi, an explosive Rashi. The Rashi over here says the word of Rezois doesn't mean Zihinei. And that means, well, I go through the entire Tanakh, every time you have the word Rezois, and make believe it says Zihinei, and you have a whole new translation of the Pasuk. Rezois, we say twice, three times, how many times a week? Four times a week. Shabbos, morning Shabbos, Mincha, Monday, Thursday, four times a week, we go, Rezois HaTarash HaSam HaShul HaFnei B'nei Shalaf Yashav Yad Moshe. What does it mean the word Rezois? This. And you point, at least some of us point. Who's no? Anupshat. Vihine. Vizois hatoira. Vihine. Behold. Hatoira. Asher samay shalifnebi ne shalpiyashem yad moshe. If you're going to substitute the word vizois with the word vihine, then there's no need to point. Zos has a connotation of this, very specific. Zois. This is the Torah. This and not that. On the bookshelf, there are a lot of books. There's a Talmud Bavli, a Talmud Yerushalmi. There are a lot of things. Maybe there are some secular books. Zois. You see that scroll? This is what was given. Everything else, interpretation. Zois has a connotation of specificity. This. Point with your finger to show this is it. But who says the word vizois means this? The word vizois means, and behold, vihine, soyamim bevitna. In fact, the word vihine always has a connotation of the unexpected. Right? Vihine Leah. Yaakov thought he was marrying Rachel, and guess what? Vihine, it was Leah, unexpected. You look at the Torah, Vihine, HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael Pi Hashem Uviad Moshe. What does that mean? You know what it means? It means you have a new appreciation. Every time you look at the Torah, you say to yourself, you know something? I didn't expect this. What do you mean expect it? How old are you? How many times have you learned the Daf Gemara? How many times have you read this parasha? How many times have you come to shul? What do you mean you don't know? What do you mean you don't know? Vihine! Wow! The unexpected. It's like the Torah came down for the very first time. What are you talking about? Kol yoim v'yoim yehei be'enav ki'ilu yiyu chadoshim. It's a Feresh HaChazal. Every single day, Chadoshim labukarim, Chadoshim labukarim, Rabo emunasecha. Chazal darshan, every single day you should look at the Torah as if it's chodosh. There's something new, it's fresh. Something that you did not appreciate has become clear, has become revealed for the very first time. When you look at the Torah and you say the words, Vizois ha-Torah asher asa Moshe, so those guys like me who are pointing with their pinky, they are translating, they're making a public statement in front of the whole shul, that we translate the word vizos to mean this. And to make it clear to all you people in the audience that the word vizos means this, that's why I'm pointing with my finger to show this is the Torah, asher samay shalafnei b'nei yishol api asher v'yad ma'yishem. But the people in shul, who are
silent, they pointed.
Zekeli van Vehu.
Other things which were new to Moshe Rabbeinu and had to be visualized or shown, it says Zosen, it was point to this as the this is how you make a menorah, this is how you do certain
right, right, there's no question that's one of the meanings. But the people in shul, yeah,
I'm looking now at the Eitz HaTamim and Hagim,
yeah,
English version. So this Gemara of Yishmael said that, in his base medrash, that Hashem showed three things to Moshe. He showed him the menorah, he showed him Rosh Chodesh, he showed him Sharatzim.
Correct.
And that's where you, I mean, they use the words Zeh or Zos.
Correct.
That's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Absolutely. The Pshat is to show specifically this. Hashem was Mareh.
He adds on his own. It's not based on, he adds on his own that since the pinky is the smallest finger, so to show anivus, we point with that finger.
It's a niminanimus. It's
small in comparison to Hashem.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that is the
means of Hine. It should have said the Hine.
So the words of Tanakh are very rich. They have many, many.
Hinei,
their words have many, many meanings, and there are many connotations. But we want to point out that here we have an incredible Rashi that, at least the brackets, the pasuk here is very hard to translate. Vihinei kikar oiferes nises. Very good. And then it says something very bizarre. Vizois isho achas. What? What does that mean? The mitzudah is dubbed as silent. Rashi picks up on the difficulty and he says, make believe the word v'zois was substituted with the word v'hineh. Would you have a problem? No, then it would make a lot of sense. V'hineh, behold, there was an isha achas, yosheves b'saycho eifah. Oh, the pasuk now, there's more to work with. In other words, what did the Rashi tell us? The word v'zois can also at times be translated to me, to as if it said vihine. Now, when you take that idea and you don't limit it to Zecharia, Perek, Hey, Pasek, Vav, and you will Zayin, and you're willing to be brave and to apply this interpretation of Rashi to other usages of the word Vizois throughout the Torah, you're going to walk away with a whole new world. And when it comes to Hagba, the people who are not pointing with their finger can say to you, whoever said the word v'zois means this? Didn't you ever learn Sefer Zechariah? Perek, hey, Pasuk Zanya, Am Haaretz. Where have you been? You didn't go to kindergarten? You don't know the basics of life? Zechariah, Perek, hey, Pasuk Zion, it says the word v'zois, and Rashi says the word v'zois means v'hineh. So when they take out the Sefer Torah and they pick it up, you know what's supposed to point? You're supposed to say, v'hineh. What do you mean, vihine? Vihine has a connotation, the unexpected. So you say back to him, unexpected? Where have you been? You never saw a Sefer Torah before your whole life. Where you come from? So he says, don't you know Chazal? Chadoshim la bekorim, rabba munosecha, b'chol yoim v'yoim yu beinecha ki ilu yu chadoshim. Every single day, Torah is supposed to be cherished, as if you receive it for the very first time. Vihine! You have to have a new appreciation of Torah every single day. So this is incredible, Rashi over here says. He's giving us over here in a parish of the Pasuk, which has massive ramifications for every time it says the word v'zois. When you read a Pasuk, and it's nogea four times a week, when you say v'zois that Torah. Why don't you try this out on the guy next to you in shul? He'll look at you like, where did you come from? But it's true what we're saying. This is not, we're not making this up. Okay, I think it's pretty clear.
What did
you
see here? Two sites? The site number one is the
Hineh.
The Kikar Oferet Niseit, which is a very strange, because Oferet sinks. Oferet cannot fly.
Cannot fly. Here, excellent.
Kikar Oferet Niseit, it means the Kikar Oferet.
It's an oxymoron.
They make the
excellent.
Weights
are excellent.
Lighter than they're supposed to be.
Excellent. He's saying over here, fantastic.
Isha Achat, and that's the consequence or explanation to that.
Excellent.
Isha Yoshevet B'toch Ha'efa. It's supposed to sit and not to fly. I don't know, maybe.
No, you're saying, so you say, Rashi,
two parts of the same site. So vezot is a consequence, or that's why it's not vehine. It's continuation of the first one.
But what you're saying before is very good. You're saying that the word Rashi says nises means he said a vision. Look what he Risi shenises me al haaretz lo avir. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that it's flying in the sky. You're saying eferes nises means it's a term. It means a false weight. The word nises, a false weight, because oifer is lead. It's meant to go down. And here it's rising up, meaning it's not as heavy as it should be. It's chakran. So Rashi doesn't say, Rashi says it's a vision, it's flying in the sky. You're saying if not for Rashi, or another interpretation, this is a term. There is a kikar, there is a talent of something. It's a false weight. And the way we describe a false weight is it's lead, which is meant to be very, very heavy. But it doesn't have its true weight. It's nises. It's lighter than what it really should be. In other words, it's a fake. It's a false measure. And there is a woman that is Yosheves B'soicho Eifa. She is using it. She's sitting there in the store. And she is sitting by the scales. B'soich, I guess B'soich can mean also near. B'soich does not necessarily mean within. It means she's sitting near this measure. And she is engaging in business, in commerce, and using this fake measurement, this fake weight, in order to deceive and fool people. And then the pasuk goes on to say she will suffer the consequence. It's late. We'll do Mirshim. We'll continue the Rashi tomorrow. Take a short break. Today we're going to learn about, I want to learn about some inyanim of the boker, of Alois HaShachar. And then maybe we'll talk about teeth. Vayashkeu. Vayashkeu. He kissed him. And when he kissed him, he really tried to bite him. And Esav's teeth were... What happened to his teeth? Did they actually fall out? Or were they damaged? Hakei Yeshinov. The Rasha, he's supposed to knock out the Rasha's teeth. Where does it come from? This week's parasha. Vayishakeu. Rashi says he was crying. He needed a good dentist.
Oh, we have one right here.
All right, we will return. We'll come back in 30 seconds. See you back.